Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. China. China is linked directly in the new NATO document issued from Madrid as a bad actor. China and Russia working together to overwhelm the sovereignty of Ukraine, but also to make it possible for Russia to sustain its war effort by buying oil and other resources directly, food, etc., from Russia to China, and using that route to sustain all of the depredations in Europe. However, the Biden administration, I learned from a recent article in the New York Times, is looking at taking forward steps in order to inhibit China from bad acting. I read from a paragraph in a New York Times report about the Biden administration and China. China's the world's second largest economy. Any trade restrictions against it would carry much greater risk than those imposed on Russia. American executives warn that broad export controls could be deeply disruptive to global commerce and also provoke China to issue its own restrictions on some of the crucial products it supplies to the U.S. I stop there. Gordon Chang's with me, and we're very pleased to welcome our colleague Jonathan Ward to comment on this picture that the Biden administration presents to us, that while China is a bad actor and named as a bad actor, the word malicious is used in the NATO document. There's no halfway about that word. At the same time, the administration concerns itself about reciprocal conduct by the Chinese and cutting the Chinese off in any fashion from our high-end products. Jonathan, a very good evening to you. Is this a fresh concern? Did the Trump administration deal with this as well? And is the Biden administration looking at solutions? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and good evening, Gordon. Well, this is the right and natural direction for U.S. strategy towards China. We are going to have to use our export controls. That is one of the key pillars in the American economic toolkit, export controls, investment bans, and then restricting access to our markets. And the problem, of course, is that for the business community, they've spent the past 2 decades building into China. And I can read you an example here from the president of the National Commission for U.S.-China Relations, who says that those who are, speaking of business leaders, those who are in China for China are there to stay. The lockdown in Shanghai has at most stalled their investment plans, but none are thinking about pulling out. They still see it as integral to their global expansion plans. For many of them, it's the most important market in the world. I think that sort of approach remains in effect across the Fortune 1000, but that is totally at odds with U.S. national security and ultimately at odds with what will be needed from American grand strategy. Our business leaders at present, with their strategies of continuous expansion in China, are going to find themselves absolutely in the crosshairs, not only of the PRC and its risks, but also of the U.S. government. So business leaders, as we've talked about so many times, must come into alignment with the United States national interest. And the longer that they hold out and resist that, the deeper the trouble that they will wind up living with ultimately.
Gordon, first question, does the Biden administration have an argument about this? Are they debating among themselves, similar to how, for example, the trade representative is in dispute with the Secretary of the Treasury about certain decisions made about tariffs? Is there a similar conversation in the Biden administration and Congress about what is to be done?
There certainly is, John. There is debate. There are a number of considerations both ways, as Jonathan has talked about. Business raises concerns, which obviously influence the Biden administration. But the one thing about Biden's team is that it is relatively disciplined. And the public argument over the China tariffs was really unusual. There isn't that much public debate about these export controls, but there clearly are differences of opinion inside the team.
You have a question for Jonathan, Gordon.
Jonathan, you talk about how the business community has to come around. Isn't this really an issue of the Biden administration having to come around and then issue prohibitions? Because it seems to me that's about the only way that business will actually ever get to the point where we need them to be on export controls.
Well, there are two elements, Gordon. I think on one hand, they can understand their own risks. I think any corporate strategy that prioritizes China as the most important market in the decades ahead is a corporate strategy that will fail. I think shareholders should be aware of that. I think one useful thing would be for the SEC to mandate, for example, some measure of China risk on every publicly traded company. What are they really doing? What are their plans? What's their level of exposure? Those kinds of risks, I think, can be obvious to the average newspaper reader, and yet many business leaders are still willing to push deeper and deeper into an adversary state. That is common sense, not a good idea. And on the other hand, U.S. government does need to come in and enact real restrictions. And we have all the tools to do that between IEPA, between outbound CFIUS, and certainly broader export controls. And I think that's the thing that makes us, as the three of us have discussed since even ahead of the invasion of Ukraine, the possibility of broadening sanctions to reach an entire economy, as opposed to targeting dual use or strategic industries. That lesson is being learned in Russia by the Biden administration, and it's very clear in my mind that those sorts of things have to be applied to China in order to put us back in the lead in the global economy and ensure that China does not make good on its real long-term economic plans.
About Ukraine, Jonathan, I'm told anecdotally that Russia is obtaining what it needs for high-end products, replacement parts, you understand, to maintain a 21st century economy by using Chinese buyers. And also, and this is a challenge to me to imagine that China's worried about this, some players in China are said to be worried about secondary sanctions if they're caught trading. Have you heard any of these stories?
Well, I think on one hand, you're seeing Chinese companies being added to the entities list because they are engaged with the Russian economy. So there's already apparently evidence not only of that happening, but also a U.S. Reaction to that. And on the other hand, I think the conventional narrative is that China's reticent to get too deeply involved because of secondary sanctions. I think this is obviously a place where the U.S. needs to maintain the utmost vigilance and act essentially without restraint when it comes to any Chinese economic support for Russia. We already had, I believe, the Chinese ambassador to Moscow gather Chinese business leaders together very early during the invasion and instruct them to look for opportunities in the Russian economy. Those sorts of things, I think, are a very rich target base for U.S. economic activity against China. And at the end of the day, you have to start to put a wedge between the Russia-China relationship. Putting pressure on Russia is one thing, but ensuring that the Russia-China relationship does not fuse together to the fullest extent that it could, I think, is also important.
Gordon, we have a couple of minutes. Go ahead.
Jonathan, while you were talking, it occurred to me that thought that democracies always act slowly and sometimes too slowly. Your comments about the change in American public opinion and American elite opinion about China.
Well, Gordon, I think we're going through a gradual sea change when it comes to views of the People's Republic of China and the Chinese Communist Party. I think America has gone through that awakening. COVID-19, I think, brought it right into the household, what the nature of the adversary we're dealing with as they covered up that pandemic and allowed it to spread across the world. And certainly, Chinese support for Putin's invasion of Ukraine should not be lost on anybody that has access to basic international information at this point. So I think we're going through that awakening, but what we really need to do is transition into a phase of action now. Not only the awakening, but we're losing, precious time on the overall contest with China, and it really does take place in the 2020s. And I still believe that the fundamentally most important next step for America is for our business leaders to understand this as clearly as our national security leaders and as much of our Congress do, to understand the nature of this challenge, to stop fighting it, to understand that the risks that they're taking in the China market are dangerous to their own companies and certainly to their country, and then ultimately to bring them back on the U.S. side, rebuild the arsenal of democracy, and create a U.S. economic grand strategy that can win is the real role of American business in the 21st century.
Final moments, Jonathan. What's a timeline? How soon does this have to happen before it's too late?
I think it's just a matter of a few years. If we get to the end of this decade without taking serious strategic action, we probably will have lost this contest. But to get to the end of the decade successfully, we have to begin acting urgently. We already should have begun.
Jonathan Ward, author of China's Vision of Victory, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.